Welcome to Two Larrys and a Mike. This is episode 35 of our podcast. I'm Larry Doughty.
I'm Larry Bly.
And Mike.
Oh, wait a minute. Seems to be. Oh, well, Mike has opened an AM radio repair shop. He says business isn't too good. Maybe it's the COVID keeping people away. I suggested about Larry that maybe he should include FM radios to double his earnings.
That would be a good idea.
But he says he doesn't think there's a future in FM. It's not a future in FM. As for satellite radio, he's never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
But he thinks people in outer space should have their own radio station, too. So it doesn't sound like he's picking up much on the old AM.
I'm thinking we might need to fine tune Mike just a little bit, if you know what I'm saying.
So there you go.
All right. Well, we're glad you're with us. First episode of season 3, but this is episode 35 of Two Larrys and a Mike. We're going to be talking about songs with names in the title. We're going to get to that in a few minutes, but here we are, brand new year, and it's a time for living, bringing in the association and our birthday song.
Okay, I'll kick it off right here by saying happy birthday to Jan Wenner. You know who Jan Wenner is?
No, I don't.
Well, he's not a wiener. Okay. He's a winner. 74 years old. He started Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh,
he founded
it. Well,
yes.
It worked out well for him.
Oh, yeah, it worked out pretty good. Singer Kenny Loggins is 74.
Mm. I love his music to this day. Joan Baez turned 81. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, 78. Buster Poindexter.
Oh, Buster.
72. Crystal Gayle. Wonder if she's ever gotten a haircut.
No, it's all the way down to her kneecaps.
71, Rod Stewart turned 77, Donald Fagen of Steely Dan, 74, Pat Benatar, 69.
Singer Shirley Bassey, I thought she had died.
Shirley.
She's 85 years old. Gold finger. Anyway, singer Anthony Gordine of Little Anthony and the Imperials is 81.
Yeah, there you go. And I've got drummer George Funky Brown of Kool and the Gang. Not only was it Kool and the Gang, but they had cool names. George Funky Brown, 73.
Funky Brown. Good old funk.
Funky Brown Medina.
The funk be flying.
That's right.
Well, accordionist Joey the Calpoca King of Riders of the Sky is 73. Singer Kim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds is 71. And singer Kathy Sledge of Sister Sledge is 63. And that concludes the birthdays for this particular
All right. Great way to start off the new year. What do you say we start off the new year with some songs that have names in their title?
The name game. Michelle, my bell. Oh, man. Jennifer, Juniper, lives upon the hill. Abraham and Martin and John. And Aubrey was her name. Beth, I hear you calling.
This one,
there were a few
fun to put together.
It was so much fun, and it was so easy because about everything I picked up had at least one cut with a person's name on it. Yeah,
and the list kept growing and growing. So somebody kept asking me, "Well, what kind of songs are you talking about?" Well, I thought of something like
famous songs.
Yeah, well, famous songs. The one that always came to mind when they wanted an example was Lobo. Me and You and a Dog Named Boo. Mm-hmm. Boo would have been.
Boo would have been the name of the dog.
Actually, I had a dog named Boo.
One of the more famous ones was Ma Maria, B.W. Stevenson. Man, I love that song.
Yeah.
Beth by Kiss.
Yep.
Me and Bobby McGee. You remember old Bobby McGee?
Yeah.
Janis Joplin sang that song.
Yeah.
So, well, Aubrey by Bread, which I would not have thought of. And then, of course, there's the famous Billie Jean Is Not My Child by Michael Jackson. As if we had any doubt about that. Along Comes Mary, the association.
Right.
Amy, What You Gonna Do? Pure Prairie Leg.
Great song.
Sarah Smile, Hall & Oates. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah.
You got some?
I do. And mine, too, my top two that I started with here, these might not necessarily be my favorite two, but it's a pair of Jessies.
Oh, yeah.
One by Carly Simon, the other by Roberta Flack.
Are they both separate songs? Completely different songs?
They are. Huh. Carly's Jessie was a song that was the lead single from her 9th studio album, Come Upstairs. Simon's then hubby, James Taylor. Have you heard of him?
I think I have.
Okay. Yeah. And their daughter.
He has a brother named Livingston.
That's right. But James and their daughter, Sally Taylor, sing backup vocals on Jessie.
Get out of here.
Yep.
No, I mean, get out of here.
Oh, you want me to leave? Already? We just started. Roberta Flack, her song Jessie was a Janis Ian song. And the title track to Janis's album, Stars.
Janis wrote it?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
It was covered by Mel Oram and Cher. Huh? And Roberta Flack took it to number 30 in 1973, giving Janis Ian her first songwriting hit since Society's Child.
How about that?
And Ian goes on to tell the story that Jessie was going to be, get this, about a Vietnam War veteran coming home. But he decided it needed a more, or she decided it needed a more universal meaning, as the song could relate to anyone wondering when or if a loved one would return home.
What?
So there you go.
One of my favorites, Nathan Jones, You've Been Gone Too Long.
Oh, that's a great song.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Ooh. Got a thing going on?
We got a good thing going. Yes, we do. well, there's a couple of them down here. Sweet Caroline, Neil Diamond, Maggie May, and then again, She May Not.
Yeah, well.
Rod Stewart, of course. Valerie and Mary Mary, two of them by the Monkees.
Yep.
The Monkees.
Styx, Lorelei. The 1975 album Equinox, and was released in 76. The song, get this, peaked at number 27 on the Billboard charts. However, the Big 89, WLS, in Chicago, ranked it the 77th most popular hit of 1976.
And what was
so that? Lorelei did better on the Billboard charts than it did in their hometown of Chicago.
Well, we played it here. We played the Dickens out of it.
It's just a great song. And then Lorelei was re-recorded for Styx Regeneration Volume 1 EP back in 2010 with James Young on lead vocals and not Dennis DeYoung.
Well, if you say so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was motivating over the hill, and I saw Maybelline in a Coupe de Ville. Chuck Berry, one of the better ones. Well, let's see, Sherry, Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Sherry by Journey.
Right.
I don't know what else. Oh, Rosanna by Toto.
Great song.
I love that song.
Yep.
I really do. Come On, Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. Did they ever do anything else besides
I
don't think so.
Nothing either. Nearly as well as that song. And one of my favorites, though, I was never really a huge Allman Brothers fan, but every time I hear this, it's like, I've got to stop everything I'm doing. Melissa.
Oh, it's a beautiful song.
Though, for years, I think I called it Sweet Melissa, but that's not the name of it. It was released in August of 72.
Well, they sing it.
Yeah. But the song's title is oftentimes said incorrectly. It's not Sweet Melissa, though in the lyric, it is mentioned in the first two choruses as simply Melissa.
Well, I think I'd like to hear a little of that.
Okay, we can work that out.
Right back home, you'll always run to Sweet Melissa. But I know
So that's the story behind. Either way, you'll find the song Sweet Melissa or Melissa by the Allman Brothers. Just a great song.
Do you remember Jennifer Juniper?
I do. Donovan?
Donovan Leach did that. And, of course, Roxanne, the Police. And If You Knew, a Peggy Sue. Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Bernadette by the Four Tops. Sylvia's Mother. Oh, I love that song. Dr. Hook.
Could you understand anything he said?
Not much. Well, you know, he had that eye patch. He couldn't see so good. Abraham Martin and John by Dion, of course.
Yep.
Oh, and there was that version by Mom's Mabel. Let's not forget Anybody Here. Anyway. See my old friend, Abraham.
So, as you can see, there are some fantastic songs with names in the title. Let me add a couple more before we move on.
Oh, please do.
Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Judy. Mm-hmm. For Simon and Garfunkel, Mrs. Robinson, Cecilia, and for Emily, Wherever I May Find Her.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the Beatles had just a ton of them.
Who?
The Beatles. Oh, okay. Have you ever heard of them? A little group from...
Yeah, they might make
there
it.
In Europe, across the water. Michelle.
Yeah.
Lady Madonna. Eleanor Rigby, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, just to name a few.
Yep, and of course, Lucy, we can also add to Elton John's list of favorites. There really are some great, great songs out there with names in the title. So,
yep, could go on and on and on, but fortunately, we won't.
But you can add to the list at home. We do have the home version of this podcast.
Oh, that is right.
So there you go. Are we up to seconds guessing now? Or
do you want to do that?
Oh, yeah. I'm on a roll now. I'm all loosened up. I got all these names in my head, and they go with probably none of your songs.
Are you on a roll or are you on a biscuit?
I think I'm on a flatbread.
That's what my Tootsie says. I would say, Tootsie, I think I'm on a roll. She said, no, I think you're on a biscuit, or at least you should be, anyway.
So, is there a prize to go along with this?
There certainly is. I'm so glad you asked.
Or are we going to just forget the prize? Have I ever taken one home?
I've been rummaging around.
Okay.
I've been rummaging around the old prize closet.
You're cleaning up again, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So anyway, what we got here... we mentioned earlier accordionist Joey Cowpoke Polka King. See that from our prize closet. If you get all the songs identified properly, you'll get this album from the old Cowpoke King himself, featuring many squeeze box favorites. Good for background music anytime or when throwing a wild party. Includes wacky hot hits that include Slap Happy Polka, the Pennsylvania Polka, Riders in the Sky Polka, and Jesse the Yodeling Cowgirl.
Well, that'll make you just polka yourself, won't it?
Pretty fascinating stuff, isn't it?
Yes. So I get that, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay, well, that's
sure.
incentive on my part to get
them all. I wouldn't think of not giving it to you. So anyway, I'm going to tell you, I put a couple of clinkers in here for you today.
Oh, of course you did.
I'll be buying my own lunch again until I can tell. Well, here we go.
Okay.
Give it a go.
And you walk slowly, that was easy. Down the hall.
What is it?
Supremes.
And? We just mentioned it.
Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones. Damn Your Bones. The Woo 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 song. I took you right up to the bridge. Took you right up to the title.
Sure you did.
Carol. Neil Sedaka. It was written about Carol King.
Oh, Carol. Neil Sedaka. Yes.
Yeah, now you said.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Easy peasy.
Oh, this one I know because I was listening to it on the way in this morning. Paul Simon.
Yeah.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Absolutely right.
Oh, and there was another song that I didn't mention, but do you remember the song he did, Duncan?
No.
It wasn't a huge hit by no means, but it was, again.
Was it about Dunkin' Donuts?
No, it wasn't. No.
Oh, no. For that. All right.
Maybe you will settle down and marry after
That's I know that's Chuck Berry.
You got half of it, right?
Yeah, but it's the other half I'm having trouble with.
I'm not sure I ever played this song in my life, but it was on the Greatest Hits album.
So why would
it's
I
called,
know it?
It's called Beautiful Delilah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a modest hit for her, maybe.
All right,
well, maybe it wasn't a hit at all. I don't know.
Easy. Oh, that one's easy. Yeah. I like easy.
One of my favorite songs.
Stories and Brother Louie.
You got it. Louie Louie.
Louie Louie.
She was... Hit it.
She was black as the night.
And it didn't get no better than that, I'll tell you. Didn't get any better. Here's an easy one, too.
Okay, all right.
Every time I think that I'm the only one who's lonely, someone calls.
And then along comes Mary.
And that would be who?
Association.
Absolutely. You're on fire now. You're on fire. I have to get out my asbestos gloves here in a minute. All right, here's another.
This was some land that he worked by hand. It was the dream of an uprising.
That's Aretha.
There was a room that was filled with love. It was a love that I
house
was
that Bob Vila built. No?
If you change his name to Jack. But he ain't
darn
got
it.
Jack.
Beatles,
absolutely.
The benefit of
Mr. Kite.
That's it. Yeah,
you
Mr. Kite.
That was close enough. I just had to do it to you, Larry. I'm sorry. It's a lovely piece. You'll have to admit.
Anchor Belt.
It's a song named Maria Elena.
Yeah, and the group is
Los Indios Tabajaras.
Yeah,
I just can't believe you didn't get it.
All alone with me.
What's wrong?
Waiting for the sun.
Sarah Smile. Hollow notes.
Bale and hay picking cotton. Okay. Here's another one. Easy one.
Look at all the lovely people.
Eleanor Rigby and the Beatles.
Yeah. Favorite Beatles songs. Well, I say that about almost all of them.
Well, you can.
All right, here we go. Here's.
In a cavern down by a canyon, excavating for a mine.
Is that Bobby Darin?
It is.
There lived a miner from North Carolina.
And his daughter, Chubby Clementine. Yes, great song. You couldn't get by that today.
But there's just one thing, you see. We never, ever do nothing nice and easy.
Or rough. Go ahead.
We always do it nice.
And rough.
And rough.
Yeah. Tina.
I'm going to take the beginning of this song.
Ike and Tina.
Yep.
Easy. Proud Mary.
Yep.
But then we're going to do the finish.
Rough.
Rolling.
Oh,
CCR just couldn't do it nearly as well as Tina.
They tried.
And Ike.
It was a totally different take on it.
Truly.
Totally different take.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can't take the Polka album home.
Maybe I can just slip it in your car when you're not looking. Before you leave today. Unfortunately, we have two deaths to report.
Oh, no.
People are dropping.
Well, I tell you, Hollywood celebrities.
Not going to be anybody left soon.
Betty White, Sidney Poitier, and then Bob Saget recently.
That was a real shock.
It really was. But you've got a couple from entertainment and
just
music.
Just a day or two ago, R. Dean Taylor has passed away at 82. He had the hit record Indiana Wants Me. I used to say that every time it was got played on the radio, I'd pull my car over. I thought the cops were pulling me over.
Well, in its day, though, there was a reason we would go past or talk over the siren for that reason, because the FCC at the time didn't want emergency sounding vehicles in commercials or in songs.
Are you kidding me? Nobody told me that. No wonder they came down and tried to arrest me. The FCC tried to find me. But here's something I'll bet you don't know. He wrote Love Child. The Supremes?
Yeah, no way.
He did. No, well, I've just told you.
Okay. Well, I've learned something today. I'm going to go home now.
And here's a sad one, I think. We spent some time talking about Woodstock on an earlier podcast. Right. Michael Lang, the co-creator and promoter of the 1969 Woodstock Music Festival that served as a touchstone for generations of music fans, he has passed away at the age of 77, battling non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
Wow.
Passed away a couple of Saturdays ago at New York's Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Although Woodstock often is viewed as creating the template for large-scale music festivals, it wasn't the first to take place in the U.S. 2 years earlier, you may recall, there was the Monterey Pop Festival. It drew 200,000 people in California. And in 1968, the Miami Pop Festival followed, which Lang also organized. I didn't know that. But Woodstock nonetheless holds an indelible place in history. No two ways about that.
I just can't imagine what they went through with Monterey and Woodstock. I mean, it was a time where today we take it, we take for granted the toys, all the equipment that make these possible, these big speakers and everything. Back then, they probably had to create something. In fact, I think they did for Woodstock.
For Woodstock, the Ampex Corporation, I think it was. I don't know, one of the big companies that actually came up with the speakers that they use to these days.
Like I said, we just take it for granted today. Right. Like, it was always here.
But they didn't have speakers
not
that
the case.
Could push all that power on back in those days.
All right, so Radio Tales?
A couple of minutes. I have a correction from the last podcast. Our cracked research team has done it again, ladies and gentlemen. I've spewed some misinformation on our podcast.
Are you saying they're on crack or they're cracked?
I don't know. Okay. Not going to go there. A dear friend since high school, Mr. John Horan, who is among our newest podsters, pointed out that I, up in Woodstock, Virginia, he's got to listen to our stuff, our nonsense, and gets a big kick out of it down at the home where he is.
Or feel sorry for us. Why?
Yeah, boy.
Getting a big kick out.
He must really be bored. Pointed out that I had given an incorrect name to the partner of Jeanette MacDonald with her Indian Love call, Canadian movies. It should have been Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy, who sang those songs loudly in each other's faces. Well, we always appreciate when someone catches our goofs and brings it to our attention.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much.
And I get paid the same amount whether I'm... whether I'm correct or not, that is nothing.
So we will pass that along to our crack research team.
Nothing. That's what it is. You want to hear an old spot from back in the past?
I would love to.
I don't know whether this one dates to the 60s or not, but I always thought it was kind of an unusual. First of all, it was sort of a country theme, which I thought was strange because they mostly ran these spots on rock radio stations. So maybe they did it purposely to get attention.
That's possible.
Because it would stand out on a rock radio station. Okay. The other thing is, what a strange theme. Dr. Pepper, so misunderstood, you have to taste it to understand it. So here it is. Is that?
Wow. Now, what I have to wonder about that commercial, you know, there for a while they started doing a version for country, then they would do one for top 40 stations, rock stations.
Nope.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I actually ran the spot on the air at WHBG and again later on, I think, at ROV.
However, hearing that ad, takes me back to my days as a little dowdy, growing up in Southeast, I'm not much bigger now, going to my grandmother's, and she would always fix Dr. Pepper. In the winter, heated Dr. Pepper and then put lemon in it.
Yeah.
You'd bring the Dr. Pepper up to a boiling, and then, and you can still do it today, and I think it works with Diet Dr. Pepper, too, and then just put a lemon in it.
You realize, to this day, I think Roanoke, Virginia is the Dr. Pepper capital of the world.
I think you're right.
I think we still consume more of the stuff than anybody else in America. I think that I recently even read that's still the case, but I'm not sure. And, of course, we used to have those Dr. Pepper dance parties on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, ours came out of Harrisonburg, WSVA-TV, mm-hmm. Channel 3 out of Harrisonburg, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And it was a classy show. In the summertime, they'd roll the cameras out. They had a big swimming pool in the back for the employees. So they would roll the cameras out there and do the dance party around the swimming pool. And I thought, man, that is classy.
Yeah, that's great.
But anyway, the deal was if they called you up at home, and you told them how many Dr. Peppers were in your refrigerator, they would give you a dollar, a silver dollar for every single one. So we kept, maybe 2 6-packs in our refrigerator at all times. I'm not sure we ever drank the stuff, but we just kept it in there because Toots was certain, my Aunt Tootsie was just certain that they were going to knock on the door and demand to see those Dr. Pepper bottles.
Oh, that's great.
Now, we lived on a 300-acre farm. What do you think the chances were that the Dr. Pepper man was going to come and look in our refrigerator? I mean, come on. But it was a good promotional tool.
Very good promotion.
They sold a lot of Dr. Peppers that way.
Yep.
You want to hear a radio story?
I would love to hear a radio story.
Eh? Oh, okay. Yeah, I got one here. Well, I was out tooling around late one night, which was unusual because, as you know, I constantly was working 3 and 4 jobs. But I realized that my old radio buddy, Phil Beckman, mm-hmm. was on the air doing the all-night show at ROV.
Talk about a talent.
Mm-hmm. He was. He was a bird, too, I'll tell you. So I decided I'd pay him a visit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had a key to the station always, unlike Bruce Jacobson, who didn't know that people had keys to the station. He said, I didn't know anybody. I don't think Bart Prater even had a key. I said, I demanded one the first day I was there, and I carried it for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, even though I had a key to the station, I always rang the doorbell so as to not scare someone to death when I opened the studio door late at night. Because down there at PD Bottom is mighty dark and spooky. Last thing you want to do is open the studio door and scare someone, the disc jockey on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other reason that I did that is because sometimes there was some hanky-panky going on and you didn't want to interrupt anything or see something that you could not unsee. So I, and especially Jim Colston's couch, which was the only couch in the entire building, and boy, did that thing get a workout. But
wait,
I don't
know. Wait.
I think a lot of people just sat.
I slept on that couch.
Did you take a bath afterwards?
No, but I wish I had now.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Scott Morris threw up on it one night. Had to clean it up before Cleats Colston got in on Monday and killed both of us. So anyway, get back to the story. So I entered the studio to say hi, but instead I said, Phil, it smells like something's burning in here. To which he jumped out of the chair, and the two of us ran into the transmitter room, which was right next door,
right
behind the main studio. And Phil proceeds to open the transmitter door, reaches in, and pulls out a cheeseburger that he had picked up on his way He was heating up on, you know, those gigantic big tubes to push a lot of electricity up to the transmitter tower to get that signal out.
Yes.
Those things glow red all the time.
They do.
So poor Al Beckley, our chief engineer, was always finding things in his transmitter that weren't supposed to.
Nothing worse than cheese on the tubes.
And I guess burned cheese was just another one of them. But yeah, Phil, he picked up a burger on the way in and he was heating it up in the transmitter. Isn't that great?
That's
I thought that was a wonderful story.
So the next time you popped in, did you call in your order ahead of time?
Yeah. I don't think I ever went back again. Unhinged me, to be quite honest with you. But anyway, such is life.
Oh, gosh. All right. I guess we're just about done.
Well, I have a little housekeeping item to attend to.
All right.
We're going to take a little break from our podcast. We usually do this every, 2 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
However, old Lair, that being me, is having an issue with prostate cancer. We've been watching my PSA levels going upwards for, a couple of years now, and my doc says it's time to act, so I'm having that bad boy taken out soon. I'll probably be laid up for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe more, who knows, but I'll look forward to being back here with my old friend Larry as soon as I'm able. Oh, and just one final warning before I leave. I may be a soprano when you hear me next.
Do you want Mike and I to come visit?
No, you can leave Mike in the car. Leave Mike in the car.
Well, we do wish you well.
Thank you.
And look forward to coming back. Maybe maybe it'll be a month.
Might
hopefully.
Be. Could be.
And look forward to our next podcast.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we appreciate you being here for episode 35 of Two Larrys and a Mike. If you like Two Larrys and a Mike, follow us wherever you download your podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with someone by simply clicking the share button. There's a new episode every other week. Hope you're going to join us next time for Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Dowdy.
I'm Larry Bly.
And
Mike is still working on that AM radio. Does not sound much better than it was earlier, I don't think. Picking up a little static there, I'd say.
Is he doing French fries?
I'm not sure.